The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Since it is Mother's Day, I would like to bring a message to you this morning in relation to that. I've been having a lot of thoughts lately about my own mother and also about my wife, who is the mother of our five precious children. And there's an old Glen Campbell song that's called, "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World." Now, I'm telling you, that's not from Scripture, but it sure has a stem from Scripture when we think about the importance of our mothers. The chorus goes like this: "There ought to be a hall of fame for mothers, creation's most unique and precious pearls. And heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." If you've never heard that song, I encourage you to go and check it out online. It's worth a listen, no question. It's a great and true song, and there is truly nothing like a mother. Personally, I could not have ordered or designed a better mother for myself. I thank God that it was in His hands, and I love my mother and am so unashamed to say that to you publicly, and we should not be ashamed to show appreciation and love for our mothers. You may say, "Well, my mother was not what your mother was, Brother Tim," or there's no reason to compare among mothers, okay? They may be good mothers, they may be bad mothers. But I want you to know that just the fact of having a mother is a blessing, because you wouldn't be here if that wasn't the case. But I hope that you can say, as I do, that you have the greatest mother in the world. That is not something that we have to argue over, because every child should think that their own mother is the greatest mother in the world. And the Bible puts much emphasis on mothers. Genesis 3:20 mentions Eve as the mother of all living. And you just remember this, that we didn't come from a monkey, but we came from the first mother, and that's Eve. And I might also add, don't ever accuse my motherly ancestor of being a monkey, because I can assure you it was Eve. It was not some monkey from some silly theory that some scientist has come up with. The first mother was Eve, and that's where we all come from. She is the mother of all living. I want to tell you now, listen, being a godly mother can be a thankless job. I grew up in the house with a brother and a dad, and my mom was the only female influence there. Thank the Lord, she was such a great mother, and I'm so thankful for her. But I know we put her through a lot of dirty clothes and a lot of things cleaning up and picking up, and being a mother can be a thankless job. And there is no Mother's Hall of Fame. The song says there ought to be one. From washing clothes and doing dishes and making meals and washing clothes and reading books and rocking to sleep and washing clothes and changing diapers and washing clothes and cleaning house and teaching Bible and washing clothes and taking care of boo-boos and mediating arguments, washing clothes and helping with homework. And oh, did I mention washing clothes? I don't know how it is at your house, but that's something that's done more regularly than anything, and that's washing clothes. And I know that that laundry list can pile up so much until it's just overwhelming. And yet today, in our career-oriented society, the idea of motherhood, it just sort of takes a back seat. You think about that. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, what's your career? What do you want to be when you grow up?" For a young girl, do they ever say, "I want to be a mother"? I think that the idea of motherhood is just taking a back seat. But I'm telling you, it's glorious. It is the hand that rocks the cradle, and it rules the world. Our mothers are so important. Now, I'm not disdaining fathers or saying they're any less important, but it's Mother's Day, and so we want to praise our mothers and talk about that from the Word of God. Without question, the most important career that can exist for a young woman is to be a mother. And when working mothers have to balance a career with the super importance of being a mother, it can become a struggle, and we should pray for every mother who's working two jobs, because that motherhood job is the primary job, and then she's got the career. If she's trying to balance that, that's a tough thing, and we need to pray for those that are having to do that. Now, I want to talk to you from the Scripture, and let's examine some sweet, sweet, dear mothers in the Scripture, a couple of them this morning. And I want you to notice how the Lord and how Jesus himself felt about these mothers. And the first one we want to look at is in the Old Testament, and then we'll look at one example in the New Testament. And I have often pondered the account of this mother in the Old Testament, how she was feeling, what she was going through in 1 Kings 17. This is the account of Elijah the Tishbite, who was the great prophet there in the Old Testament in the days of King Ahab, who was married to the wicked queen Jezebel. And Elijah has just recently gone and explained to Ahab that there was not going to be any rain because of Ahab's wickedness. And sure enough, the drought ensued, and the Lord hid Elijah up in the mountains in a mountain pass for a while, not far from Jordan. The old king Ahab looked everywhere for Elijah, but he couldn't find him because God had hidden him. He'd prepared a place for him. And when the brook dried up, the Lord told Elijah to go to a different place. He says in verse 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarepta, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." Now, this was not part of Israel. This was a different nation, but it was very nearby, and it's a place that Ahab could have easily found Elijah if he had just tried and gone and looked there, but because the Lord was taking care of Elijah, Ahab couldn't find him. And so this is where he tells him to go. Go down to Zarepta. He says, "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So Elijah arises and goes to Zarepta. He doesn't know this woman. He doesn't know anything about this woman other than that she's in Zarepta and she's a widow woman. And when Elijah gets to Zarepta, it's like he's on a secret mission. You know, he leaves this area where he's been hiding, where God has been hiding him. And I could just see him with his hooded cloak on and moving along his way and people starving everywhere. You know, it was probably very dangerous when he took this journey because Elijah is not in starvation mode. He's been up in the mountain pass being fed by the ravens, and also he's had water there. So he doesn't really look like the other people who are basically starving, and I'm not saying they look like they're about to die, but they're hungry people and they don't have much food. And here goes Elijah passing among them in secret. And when he gets there, he comes to the gate of the city at Zarepta, and behold, there's the widow woman out there outside the gate of the city. And look at what she's doing. It says in verse 10, she's gathering sticks. And he recognizes her. God reveals to him that this is her. This is the widow woman. This is the mother. And he calls to her and he says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, that was a strange request right there because there was very little water around to drink. But I want you to notice the response of this dear, sweet widow woman who was also a mother. It doesn't say she put her hand on her hip in verse 11 and said, "What? We don't have any water. We don't have what you're looking for. Are you kidding me?" No, it says, as she was going to fetch it, she didn't question him. She didn't talk back to him. She didn't say, "What are you talking about?" She looks at him and she hears a man requesting a little bit of water because he's been traveling. And he calls to her as she goes to fetch it. And he says, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now, wait a minute. This is just too much, isn't it? And apparently it was a little over the top for the lady because in verse 12, she says, notice what she says, because she's not fussing. She's just making a realistic statement here. She says, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Did you catch that? Did you catch what that mother said? She says, "As the Lord your God liveth," speaking to Elijah, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel." Can't you just see her holding out her hand and demonstrating, "But a handful of meal in a barrel." And then she takes her fingers and she shows a little bitty pinch and she says, "And a little oil in a cruse or a jar. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress this little meal in a barrel and a little oil in a jar for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, if you know anything about famines in the Old Testament, there are some very grotesque things that are presented in the Old Testament about what people did, even some mothers with their children, whenever starvation time came around, when famine time was there. I'm not going to mention it because it's awful. It's just unspeakable, but it records it so you can see that not all women who have children are really mothers. Now, let that sink in for just a second. Just because a woman has a child does not make her a godly mother. But I want you to know that this widow woman who was a mother of an only son here in Zarepta, she was a godly woman. She's not just worried about herself. She is taking care of her son. And don't you know God knew this woman? This was one of God's children. Don't you know that God was looking upon this woman? And she's out there preparing and providing the last meal that she has available for her and her son. Now, think about this very carefully in the providence of God, okay? Here is Elijah up there living for a period of time in a hidden place in the mountains. And all the while down here in Zarepta, this woman's meal in her barrel and her cruse of oil is getting less and less. There's less available. There's less to buy. And maybe it's gotten too expensive to buy. And it's less and less, and she's making meals every day. She's making meals for her and her son. She's stretching it out. I know a little bit about what this means because I've had some very close friends who grew up this way in the nations of Africa. One in particular that grew up in Tanzania spoke to me years ago. He's now deceased. He's with the Lord. But he spoke to me about how it was growing up that some days they would only have a piece of cornbread to eat, one piece of cornbread for the entire day and some water. And he said that it caused him to eventually hate food. He trained himself to hate food because it wasn't available. I have no clue personally how that feels because we live in the land of plenty, very similar to a land flowing like Canaan with milk and honey. And yet I've had experience with close friends who have experienced this. And so this is what they're going through. This woman is stretching this out. She's making a smaller cake every day. She's making a little bit smaller and stretching it out a little bit further every day until she's down to the last one. But you know what? She doesn't know this, but God is sending someone to her. God is sending a deliverer to her. God is sending one for her to take care of for a period of time while the drought continues. Isn't it interesting that God sent Elijah to a mother, to a widow woman? She had no husband. She had an only son. And this is a good, godly mother. And she is explaining to Elijah, can't you just see the frustration well up within her and how she's feeling? She says, I got a little handful of meal and a little oil and a cruse. And this is our last meal. And you're asking me to go and get this meal and prepare this cake for you? You see how she is stressed out. These are the end of days for her and her son that she loves so dearly. And Elijah says two glorious words to her. He says, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go and get that water and go and take that little handful of meal and that little oil and a cruse and do as thou hast said. Go and take your sticks that you've just gathered, build a fire and dress it and make it. And he says this, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Isn't that glorious? God provided for this mother, for this widow woman, in a magnificent way. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now, this is so beautiful. And she and Elijah and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Isn't that amazing what God did for this woman? It's amazing. Now listen, that's not the end of the story. There's some other things there that happened, but I want to go over into the New Testament and tell you just what God truly thinks about this widow woman. In Luke, the 4th chapter, the first sermon that Jesus ever preached publicly after he was baptized. This is amazing. In Luke, the 4th chapter, he stands up on the day of the Sabbath in the synagogue, and he reads from the book of the law, and he reads from the book of Isaiah. Beautiful words there. And he says in verse 21 of Luke 4, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? And by the way, he was not Joseph's son. He was the son of God. And Mary was his mother. Joseph was just his foster father or stepfather or adoptive father, you might say. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. He's saying to them that you're going to accuse me that I'm not really what I say I am. And he says, Jesus says in response to that, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Just like Elijah was not accepted in his own country back in the days when Elijah was there. He says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow and also a mother. In other words, even though Elijah wasn't accepted in his own country, he was accepted somewhere else. Isn't that amazing that in the first sermon that Jesus preaches publicly, he refers back to that dear, sweet Old Testament mother who was also a widow who was taking care of her son? I mean, she was a nobody. She wasn't on any committees. She wasn't anybody notable in society. She wasn't on a board or held any kind of office or had any kind of career outside of her home. She was a little widow woman who was a mother of a child. And yet the Lord used that mother to sustain his prophet during a time of famine. I have often pictured, as I said, Elijah and the mother and her son sitting and eating that meal at night by candlelight. God miraculously preserved the meal and the oil so there was always enough for one more meal each day, even when she thought it was all over with and at an end. And here the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives the highest accolade that could be given to any mother by mentioning her in this sermon. And I might also add this about the widow of Zarepta here in Luke, the 4th chapter. She is a beautiful lesson in the scripture of the doctrine of election. God says that I chose that widow who was not an Israelite widow to send the prophet to her and be taken care of by this woman. It was God's choice. He said, I didn't choose the widows there that were in Israel. There were many widows in Israel, but I chose this one in Zarepta because he's sovereign and because he's right and because he's full of love and compassion. What a beautiful picture of God's election. God is never wrong. He doesn't do anything wrong, and he has the right, and he's never wrong in the things he does. And he chose this woman. You say, well, those folks probably loved that, didn't they? No, guess what? After he preached this to them, they took Jesus out on the brow of the hill. They were going to cast him down and kill him, but it wasn't time for that to happen. And so Jesus just passed among them. But that is a beautiful picture here in this mother in the Old Testament from 1 Kings, where Jesus mentions her. It is a beautiful picture of God's sovereign choice of a people. God's never done anything wrong in his choosing or in his compassion or in his mercy. Let me tell you about a New Testament mother. You may have already guessed this, but her name is Mary. She was the mother of the Son of God. And in Luke 2 and 19, you get a beautiful picture of Mary there at the beginning, whenever Jesus is born. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Is that not a true mother? It means she pondered them. She thought deeply. How many mothers think deeply about their children? And of course, this mother had something extra special to think about, didn't she? Because she's sitting here thinking about the Son of God who has just been born. Oh, mothers, do you ponder these things in your heart about your children, about their future, about their spouses one day? That's a prayer we pray on a regular basis. Lord, be with our children's spouses. I tell you, a true mother will think about now, they'll think about the future. They'll think about the caring of this child that they're dealing with. Oh, praise God for our mothers. And in John, the 19th chapter, if you want to know ultimately how Jesus felt about his earthly mother, John 19 and 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And when Jesus saw his mother, verse 26, and the disciple standing by, that was John, by the way, he said unto his mother. Now picture this. Jesus is hanging on the cross, nails in his hands, crown of thorns on his head, beaten with a cat of nine tails. He's a bloody pulp. He looks pitiful, more marred and scarred than any man. And what does he do? He looks down and sees his mother. Who in the world would do that in a situation like this? Oh my goodness, did he not love his mother? And he looks down and he says unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And what he's doing here is he is referring to John. Not only is he beholding his mother, Mary, but he's also beholding John, the disciple, right there beside her. And he looks at his mother and he says, this is going to be your son now. This is the one that's going to take care of you. Then he said to the disciple, John, he says, behold thy mother. Now he couldn't point a finger because he's nailed to the cross. He's looking with his head and he says, woman, behold thy son. And to John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, you think they got the message? You think Mary and John got the message? From that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Isn't that amazing that even there on the cross, in the moments before he gave up the ghost, you could see how he felt about his mother? Oh, child of God, we need to praise God for our mothers. We need to praise God for the blessings that they are. The Lord certainly provided for his mother. We need to take care, provide, and love our mothers because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. May the Lord bless us on this Mother's Day and on the days ahead, not just on Mother's Day, to be thankful for the blessings in our life, especially our mothers. And may we see from the scripture just how God feels about mothers. He mentioned the Old Testament widow who was a mother of that only child, and he mentioned his own mother there on the cross as he was hanging and paying for our sins. May God be praised, and may we praise God for the blessing of our mothers.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.